A lot of people like words. You know, some people love words. They love talking about words, thinking about words, looking up definitions of words, classifying words. Some people even sing songs about words, right? I remember when I was young, a long time ago, there was a movie. It was made in the 1960s. It was, I guess, for kids. It was kind of a fun movie. And it had the longest word in it that I've ever heard. There was a song about that word, and I've been humming it recently, last couple of days, because I've been thinking about this illustration. It is a word that I found my children like, because that same movie I have watched repeatedly with my children when they were young. And even though I haven't watched it yet, I'm guessing maybe one day I'll be watching that movie yet again with my grandson or my granddaughter. What movie am I thinking of? Yeah, Mary Poppins. And what's the word? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, right? I mean, that's a pretty intense word. That's a long word, right? Was it a word before the movie? I don't know. Okay. But I know as a young child, I would sing that song and think about that word. And that made an impression on me. And then I got a little bit older and I thought, hey, that word's kind of silly or whatever. And you just move on. I'm still captivated by words. But now I like to think about words that I'm going to call truly great words. And great words, not because, oh, you like theology and that's what you're into. I'm talking about words that will comfort your soul in the middle of the night when things aren't going well in your life. I'm talking about words that are words we can cling to, even when we're on our deathbed and we're thinking, what happens next? I'm talking about words like these: righteousness, justification, and redemption. These are just three, and there's more, but these are just three of the great words that we're going to talk about this morning as we return yet again to this paragraph of Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Again, a paragraph that some people say is actually the greatest paragraph written in the history of the world. We had a message last time. We'll do a quick review, verses 21 through 23, and I entitled it Right with God. We'll just kind of read through that just to bring us back into the context, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, Paul's talking about the righteousness of God. You'll notice it's apart from our work. He says it's been manifested. That's because it's based on the work of Christ. It's something that happened in the past and that appeared. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that's number three. It was promised in the Old Testament. Even the righteousness of God, verse 22, through faith in Jesus Christ. That was number four. It's through faith in Christ. And then Paul goes on in verse 22 and says, for all those who believe, there's no distinction. That means it's offered to all. And then finally, he goes on to say in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's needed by all. I want to just focus on that fourth of the sixth. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 22? It says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe. So the question is, what is true? For those who believe, for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, in one word, they're justified. And that's the one word title of the sermon this morning. In fact, we're only going to look at one verse. It's such an incredible verse that I didn't think we can go any farther today. So the whole message basically is going to be focused on this great text of Romans chapter 3. In verse 24, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption, which is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. You say, what's true of everybody who believes the gospel? Four things we're going to see. Number one, ready? We're justified by God. This is the first time the verb is used. Paul loves this verb. First time it's used in Romans. And I just want to make sure we're clear on this. Notice it's in the passive. Notice what the text says. Being justified. We are all sinful people. That's what Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3 is all about. And there's nothing I can do to change that. I'm a sinner. And even when I try not to sin, I still sin. I'm just like you. You say, well, then somehow we got to get right with God. The problem is there's nothing we can do. All over the country, people are going to church today because they think that'll make them right with God. But you know what? Paul says it won't work. There is nothing that will work because you can't do anything to make yourself right with God, but you can become right with God. Again, it's a passive verb. You can be justified. That's what Paul was saying here. So the question, obviously, is what does it mean, verse 24, to be justified? The word literally means, in this context, to be declared righteous. Let me point out a few things. Go back to verse 21. You'll see the phrase, the righteousness of God. Look at verse 22, the righteousness of God. Look at verse 25. This was to demonstrate His righteousness. In verse 26, His righteousness. Now, in English, this doesn't work so well, but in Greek, it's real obvious. The word righteous, righteousness, and the verb justify are basically the same word. It's the same root word. When Paul talks about the righteousness of God, something that we all need, he then talks about in verse 24, being justified. We could translate it this way, being declared righteous. And I want to be careful. I don't want to be overly theological this morning. But we are not made righteous when we get saved. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, are you made righteous? Technically, no. See, you might think, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I still struggle with sin. We all do. Why would we struggle with sin if we were all righteous? We wouldn't. The reason we struggle with sin is we're not righteous. But we are legally declared righteous. That's what justification is. It is God looking at us and saying, based on your faith in Christ, nothing you have done, everything Christ has done, I declare you righteous. You say, then it's fiction. It's not fiction. It's real. The judge of the court says, I declare you righteous. And it's an actual legal standing. Maybe this will help just to look at another verse. The same verb is used in Luke 7:29, and I have it up first in the King James. And this is what it says. You can see it on the screen. All the people that heard him, that's Jesus, and the publicans justified God. How do you justify God? You say, well, if the word justify always means to make righteous, that would mean that these people are making God righteous. You can't make God righteous. God is righteous. But you can declare, yes, He's righteous. And that's why, for example, the ESV translates Luke 7:29. When all the people heard this and the tax collectors too, they what? Same verb. They declared God just. That's what this verb is all about. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know what's happened? It says, verse 24, you have been justified. You have been declared righteous. And you say, man, Greg, that is awesome. I've been forgiven, right? Oh, yes, but it's better than that. Justification is better than forgiveness. It's better than a pardon. Let me see if I can work on this one a little bit. To be justified is even better than to be forgiven, because you could be forgiven and not be declared righteous. But what God does is when a person puts faith in Jesus Christ, you see what it says here? It says being justified. Now that might seem a little bit odd to you. You say, what is forgiveness? What is a pardon? It's the remission of punishment. You've done something, you're guilty, and you're still guilty. Okay, so you don't have to go to jail. You can be pardoned, but you're still guilty. What is justification? It's a declaration that there is no ground for punishment. You are not guilty because you have been declared righteous. It's better than forgiveness, guys. I'm not saying forgiveness isn't awesome. I'm saying take forgiveness and bump it up a notch. That's justification. Maybe an illustration would work. Here's a picture of our president talking to the press. And there's a press conference going on because he just recently pardoned an 85-year-old former sheriff in the state of Arizona. And do you know who this man is? Some of you who keep up on this, I have to look this stuff up. Anybody know? Yeah, Joe Apiro. He was a gentleman who was found guilty of being in contempt of court. Now, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But what happened is he would, as a sheriff, go into certain parts of the town, of the city where he was at, in the county, and he would go and he would arrest people, or at least not really arrest people, but he would take people who perhaps were illegal aliens to try to determine if they were citizens or not. And the court said, you can't do that. That's against the law. That's profiling people. And he basically said, you call it what you want. It's what I'm going to do. Okay? If you're an illegal alien, you should have to face the consequences. He refused to listen to the federal court, and he was found to be contempt in court. He was guilty. President Trump turned around and granted him a presidential pardon, which means what? He is not guilty in the sense he was pardoned. He was what? Forgiven. But wait a second. Did he disobey the federal court? Yes. So is he still really guilty? Technically, yes. Even though he was pardoned. My point is, that is not what happens when you put faith in Jesus Christ. When you put faith in Jesus Christ, what happened? You were justified, which means you were declared righteous. Your sin was not only forgiven, you were not only pardoned, but you were legally declared righteous. You say, how in the world could that happen? I haven't done anything to deserve it. That's true. But notice verse 22. Verse 24. Being justified as a gift by His grace. Number one, we're justified by God. Number two, we are justified freely. In my translation, it says being justified as a gift. Some of your translations actually have being justified freely. It's the adverb form of the noun gift. You don't work for a gift. You don't earn a gift, right? Again, we have a couple birthdays going on in our house this week. And the people who have a birthday, typically what? They will receive a gift. And you don't work for the gift. You don't earn the gift. You don't say, hey, I want a gift. What can I do? Can I go out and do something for you? It's not a gift. A gift is something you're given freely. And if that's not enough, notice what comes next. Being justified as a gift by His grace. Most of you know what grace is. It's unmerited favor. So we are justified freely. We are justified by grace. Paul put it this way. I think many know Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Notice, it's by grace. Notice, it's the gift of God. Justification is a gift that God freely and graciously gives to all people who believe. That's what Paul's helping us to understand. This is why it's such a great verse. Paul writes about it later in Romans. We'll get there in time, chapter 4, verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. See, this is the heartbeat of the Reformation, right? This year is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. That justification is by faith. It's not by doing anything, because there's nothing we could do to earn it. But God justifies. He declares people righteous. And how does He do it? He does it freely. He does it by grace. There was a woman in our congregation, a younger woman, and she was leaving town, and Nancy went over to her house to help her pack and get ready and, you know, just kind of be a blessing to her. And she had a bicycle. That's a fairly nice bike. I mean, it's a nicer bike than you would just go to Walmart or something and buy. So she has this bicycle. She says, I really don't use it a lot. And she told Nancy, I'd like to give it to a certain one of your daughters. Would that be okay? And Nancy said, well, you know, you don't have to do that. And she said, yeah, but I'd like to do that. And she graciously, freely, as a gift, gave one of my daughters a bicycle so that she could go out and ride wherever she wants to, Swamp Rabbit Trail, whatever. And that bike, even now, I believe, is still in her vehicle. You see, how'd she get it? It was a gift. You say, but how'd she get it? By grace. You say, but how was it given to her? Freely. She didn't deserve it. She didn't earn it. She simply accepted the gift. That's what happens when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are what? Justified by God. Number two, we're justified freely by grace. And it's easy for us to think, that's absolutely incredible. Justification is free, which means it doesn't cost anything. Well, you know, that's true from our perspective. It doesn't cost me anything. All I do is believe the gospel, and God declares me righteous. But it cost someone else a great deal. Notice what the text says, please, verse 24. Being justified is something that happens to me as a gift by His grace. It's not something I could work for or earn through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's number three. We're justified at a great cost by way of redemption. Let's review that word redemption. It means to set free or liberate through the payment of a price. It was very common back then in the ancient world that prisoners of war and slaves would be set free if you paid enough money. So maybe it's my army against your army, right? And let's just say my army wins and I take a bunch of your guys and I hold them for ransom. And I say, you want your guys back? And you say, yes. And I say, I don't want to give them back unless you pay a ransom. And you would offer me a certain amount of money. And if the money was paid, a very high price, I would set the slaves free. That's this word, redemption. It's a wonderful word. It's the idea that somebody pays a price so that I can be set free. It's not just an ancient idea. Are you familiar, on the news, I don't think personally, but are you familiar with anyone being held for ransom? And then once a large price is paid, that person or those people were set free? Maybe some of you remember this in the news. I have a picture up there of the oil tanker, if I pronounce it right, the Marin Centaurus. In 2009, it was hijacked by Somali pirates. The crew was held for 3 months under the threat of death. And then finally, the pirates received a ransom of $8 million. And all the people were what? They were redeemed. They were set free through the payment of a price. That's redemption. You know, it worked, so the pirates tried it again. There's another ship, okay? That's called the Sam Ho Dream. In this case, they didn't ask for $8 million, they asked for $9 million. And the crew was held for a total of 218 days. And finally, it was agreed that they would pay a $9 million ransom. And based on the payment of the price, the entire crew was what? Set free. They were redeemed because the redemption was paid. $8 million, $9 million, that doesn't really seem like that much money compared to this gentleman. His name's Walter Kwok. He's the son of a wealthy businessman in China. In 1997, he was kidnapped. And then finally, his dad said, okay, I'll pay the ransom. And his dad paid $77 million so that those who kidnapped his son, pictured here, would be set free. After the payment of $77 million, he was redeemed because the redemption was paid. You say, that must be the record. No, this one's the record, okay? This is Victor Lee, son of the billionaire Li Xing. He was kidnapped and held for $135 million. I mean, we're getting into serious money here, right? I mean, up front, we're just talking about $8 or $9 million, right? Who cares, right? But when we get to $135 million, and guess what? The ransom was paid, and he was set free. That's redemption. Maybe that'll help us to understand what Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:7. In Him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. Through His blood, that's Jesus dying on a cross, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. You know what happens? When a person who is sinful puts faith in Jesus Christ, number one, he's justified by God. Number two, justified freely by grace. Number three, justified at great cost. And that's redemption. And there's just one more phrase. Notice as we close up the verse, verse 24, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's our fourth and final point. We are justified in Jesus Christ. The sinless Jesus dies on a cross in our place, paying the price necessary to redeem us. And what happens? We believe, right? We're back to verse 22. We believe. We are among those who believe. And once you believe, that price of redemption is applied to your account. You say, and I'm forgiven. Yes, but it's better than that. You're not only forgiven, you're declared righteous. That's what happens when a person is justified. He's declared righteous by God. So as we close up, I have a question. I try to kind of squeeze it in there. So how can sinful people like you and me, how can we be right with God? Well, number one, there's nothing a person can do to justify himself before God. Paul has made that abundantly clear in this wonderful paragraph, verse 21. It's apart from the law. None of us could do anything to be declared righteous because we're all sinners. Well, number one, there's nothing a person can do to justify himself before God. But number two, all who believe in Christ are justified by God. You, if you believe in Christ, have been justified by God. It's a tremendous thought. You say, Greg, remind me, what is justification? It is that which God freely gives to all who believe. It doesn't cost you anything. You say, I've always heard that if something doesn't cost anything, it's not worth much. Well, you've heard wrong. Because it cost Jesus Christ much, it cost you nothing, and it's worth everything. It's freely given. And number four, justification is through payment of price. It cost Jesus Christ His life. And then finally, those who are justified are not only pardoned, even though that's awesome, they are declared righteous. Here's our conclusion. This is the gospel. This is good news. Sinful people who believe in Christ are declared righteous by Christ. Would you read that with me together? Sinful people who believe in Christ are declared righteous by Christ. One more time, come on. Sinful people who believe in Christ are declared righteous by Christ. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? That's the only hope you have, is by believing in Jesus Christ, that God in the flesh came into this world, lived a perfect life, went to a cross, died, was buried, third day, rose again, is now in heavens, coming back one day. Have you believed that good news? And if you say yes, then I hope you all have. You know what? Then rejoice in Jesus Christ. You know, it ought to be that Saturday night, and I know, again, you know I like sports, but Saturday night, it shouldn't be like, wow, this is awesome, my team won. Even though if your team won, that's great. It ought to be, I can't wait to wake up in the morning and get together with other people who believed in Jesus Christ. And we're all together and we're just going to rejoice in Christ. Because I believed in Him and now I've been declared righteous. And I just want to get together with other people and give thanks to Jesus Christ. Our life should be all about giving thanks to Jesus Christ. And even more than just giving thanks, we should fourthly what? Want to serve Jesus Christ. And so even as I wrap up this morning, believe in Christ, rejoice in Christ, give thanks to Christ, serve Christ, then share the good news of Christ. Why are there so many people in this world that are so incredibly discouraged, depressed, and down and struggling? Because they don't have any good news. I mean, what are they supposed to rejoice in? They don't know the good news. They don't know what it's like to have God look at them and say, I declare you righteous. You're not only forgiven, I declare you righteous. And you're thinking, Lord, I'm a sinner. How can this be? And God says it's because of Christ. Believe in Christ. Rejoice in Christ. Give thanks to Christ. Serve Christ. Share the good news of Christ. If we get a handle on these gospel truths, it'll change your life. People sometimes say to me, you know, you believe in biblical counseling and you talk to people about how our problems can be traced back to our relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't get it. There it is. That's enough good news to help anyone. And I think we all know that the challenge, the problem is we put our faith in Christ and we even begin to understand justification. And then we think, yeah, and we just kind of take it for granted. We forget about it. And then we become overly concerned with lesser things. I'm not even going to say unimportant things, but lesser things. And it takes our eyes off the most important thing, and that's Jesus Christ. My prayer for our church family is that you would spend this day rejoicing in your justification. That no matter what you've dealt with, maybe already this morning or this weekend or this week, no matter what bad news you have faced or continue to struggle with, I trust that the good news that sinful people who believe in Christ are declared righteous by Christ will warm your heart and fill you with joy and be the primary reason you fully anticipate having a blessed day, regardless of what's going on in your world. And I trust by God's grace it'll be so. Let's pray.